happen. Joining us now on the line, very happy to have him on this program, having had him on the previous one, from KJR Sports Radio in Seattle, Dave Softy Mahler, now on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Good morning, Softy. How are you?
Pack it up, pack it in. Let me begin. I came to win. Battle me, that's a sin.
That was very good. You and
you know
Casey,
what that is, don't you?
Yes, that is
the lyrics to Jump Around.
It's Born to Run by Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, close. I think it was something from Bryan Adams or Rush, one of those Canadian people. By the way, are you guys allowed to come over here now?
Via air, yes, right?
No.
How ridiculous is that?
Yeah.
So you can fly here, but you can't drive.
I think that is correct.
Unless I missed
the policy.
You guys won't let us in.
So dumb.
Because this is a big issue for a lot of the Seahawks season ticket holders that live in the Greater Vancouver area and the Lower Mainland. A couple buddies.
Well, the good news is it keeps all those filthy Blue Jay fans out of here.
Well, that is the runoff,
which we like that.
And we're, you know what? I wasn't even going to go down that road right away. Yeah. With the Blue Jays thing. But I guess that is a big moment for Mariners fans this season, is the annual infiltration of Blue Jays fans.
Well, we already had the series. It already came and went.
Right.
And it was not nearly as annoying as it normally is. So I guess there are silver linings to the pandemic, and I guess that would be one of them.
So it's an interesting time in Seattle sports. That was why we wanted to reach out to you because...
By the way, did you guys move stations?
Yeah, we did.
We did, yeah. We are now on Sportsnet 650.
What happened at the old one?
They shut the station down while we were on the air. They were just like,
I heard about that.
Yeah. That's enough of that.
That was crazy.
Yeah. Yes, we were
You guys resurfaced, no problem.
Well,
some problems.
Some problems.
Wow.
But,
well, good for you.
We were the last voices ever on the air. They yanked the show with 1 hour to go on the final day. It is now a stand-up comedy station.
That's a pretty cool little trivia question, though. What was the name of the previous station?
TSN 1040.
TSN 1040. So from now on, you two knuckleheads, right, will be known as the last voices ever on 1040.
Put it on our tombstones. Okay, I want to ask you about the current state of Seattle sports, because we were talking about this in the intro. It's like, I feel like we're always very closely linked to Seattle, but maybe never more so than now with the Kraken's debut on the horizon. But you've got the Seahawks off to a very solid start. You've got the Mariners still on the fringes of that playoff chase. There's got to be excitement about the Kraken right now. It seems like it's good times for everybody in sports in the state of Washington, not named Jimmy Lake.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, just get that dig in there right at the end.
Well, I mean, that's a bad start. There's
God,
no way. There's
is
no
that
two
payback for me bringing up the stuff with the other radio station?
It was, yes.
Is that what that was?
Yes.
Well, you're right. Everybody else seems to be having a good time, except for what's happening over on Montlake with UW. And, I mean, I would say it's more of a John Donovan problem right now, but if John Donovan goes, who's their offensive coordinator, then it's going to be a Jimmy Lake problem because he's next, right? I mean, you only get to play that card, you know, once when you fire a coordinator. So the Kraken are big, and today they put their sweaters on sale. Do you call them sweaters or jerseys up there?
I call them jerseys.
Gotcha. Yeah. I just want to make sure we're doing this right because we went through this whole song and dance with the soccer fans when the Sounders came back. You know, they're not jerseys, they're kits.
It's not
a field, it's a pitch.
Right.
So you got like annoying soccer guy. And honestly, we haven't heard a lot from annoying hockey guy. It's not a jersey, it's a sweater. You know, we don't hear a lot of that from hockey fans. So I'm glad to hear from you guys that jersey is acceptable to describe the uniforms that these guys wear. But they put them on sale today at their Iceplex up in Northgate, which is their training facility. And they had like 1,000 people lined up at 2 o'clock in the morning. It was like Friday, Black Friday at Best Buy with $50 TVs going on sale. It was crazy how nuts people are going up here for a damn uniform, a damn jersey, a damn sweater. So people are really excited, obviously, about all this. I mean, they got preseason games coming up in like 2 weeks from now, guys. So we are ready to roll. Mariners are likely going to fall out of the playoff race very soon. They're 3 games out right now. They play the Red Sox again today with Marco Gonzalez on the mound. They've got to win if they've got any real chance of of maybe, you know, pulling off a miracle. I don't expect it to happen, but just the fact that they're in the race in the middle of September has been a win for people, and the Seahawks go on the road and have an incredible debut. Russell Wilson throws four touchdowns, and everybody's, drooling over the new offensive coordinator and Shane Waldron, where at Washington, the sentiment's the exact opposite. So I would say we're hitting on like 75% times are good.
Are people in Seattle looking forward to a rivalry with Vancouver? Now, I should mention MLS and the Sounders and Whitecaps. Yeah. I guess in theory they have a rivalry. Unfortunately, the Whitecaps just haven't been good enough to make it a good rivalry. And when you go back to the NBA, when the Grizzlies and Sonics were both still in Vancouver and Seattle, respectively, like the Grizzlies were awful. It was just there was never, ever anything close to a rivalry. Has that been a talking point at all down in Seattle? Because up here in Vancouver, it's weird because, you know, I'm a big Seahawks fan and I'm a Huskies fan. And I support the Mariners. Like, I'm more of a Blue Jays fan, but I will support the Mariners.
American, let's face it.
Well, no, but I with the Kraken, like, I look forward to, like, not disliking the Kraken, like hating the Kraken. So that's good.
So first of all, nobody's much talking about a rivalry with the Canucks because you guys really suck, and nobody expects much pushback.
You know what? After the last few years, that's fair.
I mean, you haven't done anything really of significance in a decade, right? Let's be honest.
Yep, that's true.
A couple of playoff wins here or there, but since, 2010, whatever, last time you made the final, I mean, but let's face it, the Canucks have become pretty much like a minor league hockey team.
it would be akin to losing to Montana.
Thunderbirds. Than the Kraken.
I see somebody's leaning into
the Western Hockey League.
Someone's leaning into the rivalry real hard right now. This is good.
So, I mean, you got to show up first, right? Yeah. Like when there's a game and you don't show, it's hard to have a rivalry, guys. I mean, come on, what the hell happened to your franchise?
That's what they were saying.
Question, because we want to make sure we don't go down that road. We're looking at the Vegas blueprint, not the Vancouver blueprint, because the Vancouver blueprint ends up in the toilet. The Vegas blueprint ends up in the Stanley Cup final.
You should get some better players then.
Step up to the plate and offer some resistance.
We're speaking to Dave Softy Mahler from KJR Sports Radio in Seattle here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. As we briefly table this rivalry, which I remind you has yet to be played a single game between the two sides.
I love it. I love it.
Now,
get the border open so you guys can get down here.
Well, okay, everyone's already looking. There's that weekend. It's the first weekend of 2022, January 2nd, 3rd. It's the Seahawks. Now, I want to get this right. I think it's the Canucks and Kraken on the Saturday, and then it's the Seahawks and the Lions on the Sunday. And that's the double.
And the Canucks game is here, right?
That's correct. Both are in Seattle. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, if we can get the border open, you guys come on down. You'll be my guest.
Oh, terrific.
At both games.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. I would love it.
And then we'll grab dinner. We'll hang out together. We'll sing songs, tell some jokes, most of them inappropriate for the radio. And we'll send you packing back home.
And that Seahawks game that weekend will be, I believe it's the last of the regular season, so we will presumably be watching a Seahawks team on its way to the playoffs. Now, I didn't want to ask you. Yeah, I know. I didn't want to ask you so much.
I think the last game is against the Cardinals the next week, by the way.
Okay. So, right. We got an extra week this year. That's right. We don't want to ask you necessarily. We've done a lot of review of what the Seahawks did in Indy in week one. Pretty impressive performance. The division on the whole, because all four teams are now 1-0, and we pointed out that aside from the 49ers kind of letting it slip a little bit in the fourth quarter against the Lions, every single team in the NFC West put up a really solid opening week performance. We thought this was going to be the best division in football. It kind of lived up to that in week one. If you had to power rank it right now, how would you do it?
Well, I don't think it's even close. I mean, I think the NFC West is the best division in the NFC for sure. It's by a mile, and it's the best division in football. I mean, not the NFC West going 4-0, but the AFC West also went 4-0.
Right.
So all eight teams on what would be considered the West Coast by the NFL. I know Denver is in the AFC West and Kansas City as well, but the eight teams west of the Mississippi all went 8-0 this weekend, and I don't think that's ever happened. The NFC West scored 141 points, guys, over the weekend. So you got four high-flying offenses. You got four teams that, well, at least three of them. I don't know what the Niners are doing with Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo, but they feel like they have some pretty good, you know, answers at quarterback. But Stafford, Murray, Russell Wilson for sure. You know, we talked about this over the offseason that because of the seventh playoff team, you could have all four teams in the NFC West make the playoffs. Yeah. I mean, all three wild cards could come out of that division, right? I mean, NFC East, do you see a second team? Probably not. NFC North, probably not. NFC South, I mean, maybe if the Saints can kind of get their act together, and I was surprised as heck at what they did to Green Bay over the weekend. Man, that was shocking to see Jameis freaking Winston outplay Aaron Rodgers like that was insane. So maybe the Saints are legit, but I think by the time the cream rises to the top, the NFC West could easily have all three teams in this division be wild card teams plus their division champion. So, man, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be a minefield the entire year in this division.
Yeah, the Rams, that's the one for Jason and I where we're like, we think this is, you know, this. I think they're the best team in the division. I think it's awfully close at the top, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but I think at the end of the season, it's probably going to come down to Seattle and Los Angeles for first spot in the division.
Oh, I agree with that. I agree.
How impressed were you with them on Sunday Night Football? Because going into the season, I was like, how big an upgrade is Stafford really going to be over Jared Goff? And then Goff finished with really nice numbers in his first game as a Lion. And then I went out, and it was almost like eye test territory where I just looked at it and said, oh, yeah, they're much better with Stafford than they were with Goff.
Well, the difference with him in Detroit and L.A., he just looks like he's enjoying himself. I know that's kind of a cop-out and kind of a cliche, but the guy was miserable in Detroit. I mean, first of all, I don't know how many of your listeners have been to Detroit, but it is miserable in Detroit, okay? I've been there many, many times. My mom is from there. It is not a place that you want to spend more than a couple of minutes on a layover with a flight to Chicago or wherever, okay? I mean, think of the most miserable place in Canada, and Detroit is worse than that. So if
as long
I'm
as you're not Stafford, connecting to Buffalo.
There you go, exactly. I can't wait to get the hell out of there. And he looks like he's having fun, man. He's smiling. He's got a great defense around him. He's got a good offensive line. He's probably got the deepest wide receiver core he's ever had. He's not going to have a guy like Megatron or Calvin Johnson, as you know, obviously, but from a depth perspective, he's got maybe the best talent around him he's ever had. And he gets to play eight games, you know, on the turf at the SoFi Stadium, which is passer friendly. So I don't know, man. I just think that with Kyler Murray, the thing about Kyler Murray in Arizona, this is a big year for him because that fifth-year option is coming up for him. His new deal's about to, his rookie deal's about to expire. He's playing for a second contract. He's playing to be a, you know, a $25-30 million guy, and he's motivated, and that's scary for the rest of the division to see a motivated quarterback like that.
You know, it's funny, talent wise when you look at it, Kyler Murray's ceiling is exceptionally high. There's just certain things he can do on the field that a lot of guys can't do, but he's also surrounded by a ton of talent.
And he is.
And the defensive side of things, you know, it's funny. You talk about the best players in the division, and right away, if you're thinking the best defensive player in the NFC West is Aaron Donald. I don't think anyone's going to argue that. The second best might be Chandler Jones.
Well, I would still say Russell Wilson just because of the importance of the quarterback. But I get your point. Aaron Donald is maybe the best defensive lineman ever. I mean, you could argue him and Reggie White and guys like that, but he just does things that defensive linemen aren't supposed to do. So from just a pure regardless of position standpoint, I would agree with you. I would say Aaron Donald. And then, you know, look, I mean, Kyler Murray, first of all, he should get on his hands and knees and be thanking Russell Wilson every time he sees him for the position he's in.
Yeah.
Because without Russell Wilson doing what he's done in the last decade, there's no way the Cardinals took Kyler Murray where they drafted him. The idea of a 5'8", yeah, I'm not even sure if he's 5'8", quarterback going as high as he went, you know, number one, that's all Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, 8 years earlier, was drafted 75th, and this guy comes out of college and he ends up going number one. So that's the Russell Wilson effect that I think he had on general managers around the NFL. But I also think for the Seahawks, the talent that they've got on the offensive side of the ball is as good as it's ever been. I mean, look, Gerald Everett, you know, does things that no Seahawk tight end has ever done. He can line up on the inside in the slot. He can play on the outside, and you saw that many times on Sunday. He can block. When Chris Carson is healthy, he's, I think, a top 10 back in the NFL. And then, oh, by the way, you've got two dominant wide receivers in Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. The question for this football team is going to be the secondary, right? When they play teams like Tennessee with A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, how do they manage against teams like that? Because the Colts did not have a lot of offense on Sunday, and we all get that. But the best friend to a great secondary is a pass rush, and you saw depth on that defensive line. They played eight guys on the defensive line on the very first drive of the game against the Colts on Sunday. So this Seahawks team could be as deep as they've been maybe since they won the whole thing 8 years ago.
I'm glad you mentioned the Cardinals. I'm glad you mentioned the Titans.
I'm trying to help you out here.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. The Cardinals really put it on Tennessee in Tennessee in week one. That was a blowout. I don't like that either. How do you think that affects week two? Because
I think they're angry.
Yeah, and you know, Seattle, it's going to be one of those litmus test games where it's like one of our divisional opponents had a really solid effort against this team. Tennessee's going to be angry. Set it up for us as the Seahawks take on the Titans this weekend.
Well, I think that this is going to be one of the more complete offenses that they see this year. They've got two great wide receivers, and they have a great running back in Derrick Henry. So you tell me a team that they face the rest of the way that has that combination of star at both the wide receiver and the running back spot, and then a competent quarterback in Ryan Tannehill. So, yeah, I'm with you. I don't like seeing Tennessee off that loss to Arizona. They're going to be good and pissed off before this game, you know, full of you-know-what and you-know-what before they play this game on Sunday. So this is a really good test for the Seahawks, man. I mean, the entire offseason we talked about concern about the secondary. You know, they kept going back and forth. It was DJ Reed, Akella Witherspoon. It was DJ Reed. It was Ugo Amadi. It was Marquise Blair. It was this guy. It was that guy. And they finally settled on Trey Flowers, who was already here. So they kept making all these moves. They picked up John Reed from the Texans late in the offseason before the regular season began. So they really kind of felt like and were acting like they did not really have much confidence at all in the players they had in the secondary. And they ended up, again, going back to a guy in Trey Flowers, who, frankly, I think has been a disappointment since he showed up here a couple years ago. So this will be a huge test for them. I mean, the pass rushers are great. I got no problem with that. I'm a little bit nervous about the defensive tackles. I mean, Brian Monet, Al Woods, Puta Ford. That's what you got. Jaron Reed's gone now, obviously. So can they handle the run? You know, can they handle Derrick Henry? They've shown since the second half of last year they can get after the quarterback, and I think they're even deeper now at pass rush than they were a year ago with the emergence of Daryl Taylor. But can they stop the run? So this is going to be a really, really awesome challenge for them on Sunday against a salty Titan team.
It is the Seahawks home opener. It is this Sunday. It is a 1:25 kickoff. We are very much looking forward to it. Softy, thanks a lot for doing this today, bud. We really appreciate it. Enjoy the game this weekend. Let's try and do this again before the start of that Canucks-Kraken rivalry in October.
All right, go Kraken. Canucks are a bunch of losers.
Thanks, Softy. We appreciate that.